Hello, and welcome to Blurred and the Nerd, where we talk about all the fun things that are fun and just so much fun. And okay, so I'm BJ.
Super gay.
I'm excited.
I'm mad. That's Blurred the Nerd. We just kind of ramble about stuff that's kind of important to us, kind of not. So we just ramble about stuff that comes to mind.
It's funny because you're trying to sound so nonchalant about it, but you know you're getting excited about all of these things that we're about to discuss.
I'm super excited about all the stuff that
just let yourself. But the first thing today we decided to talk about is going to be the new Godzilla movie, which I know very little about besides the fact that Aaron Johnson and Elizabeth Olsen,
Bryan Cranston, Ken Watanabe
are all going to be in it. I just know who's in it and who's directing it. But besides that, Matt is the real Godzilla fanboy here, so I'll let him.
I'm super excited about it. With the new Godzilla, and I recently found this out, one of the agreements that they had with the Japanese company, that I believe the company is called Toho, the company that originally did Godzilla, their agreement was that the Godzilla in the film be the man in a rubber suit Godzilla.
What?
Yeah, just like it used to be, except that what they're doing is they're taking the man in the rubber suit and they're kind of doing the
motion capture.
Yeah, the Andy Serkis type thing.
That's cool.
And so
I like that
the Godzilla in it feels like a real being because there's a real guy moving in it. It's kind of the whole King Kong type thing. Where
that's fun.
There's a real guy.
Yeah, Andy Serkis was King Kong. Yeah,
Andy Serkis. So I'm really excited about that.
That's going to be cool.
They've confirmed that there's going to be two monsters in it, one of which we get a glimpse of.
I think it's more than two. It's a few, I think.
Confirmed as two.
Okay. Well, yeah, because we saw the trailer and it was like the dead one and then
And they've already talked about doing a destroy all monsters type scenario.
I don't know what that means.
Destroy all monsters was a scenario within the Godzilla kind of universe where Godzilla just decided he was going to up and kill all the other monsters. I forget the context why.
It's pretty cool.
So what they want to do is have a thing like that. Yeah. They're also in talks with Guillermo del Toro to do a
Pacific Rim Godzilla, because Warner Brothers owns both properties.
Absolutely.
Now. So, I mean, what they should do, they should have this first Godzilla. I believe they're working on Pacific Rim 2 right now, like writing it.
Yeah, that's
they'll have Pacific Rim 2, this Godzilla, maybe another Godzilla, and then like the end of each sequel will be a lead into Pacific Rim Godzilla, like I don't know what they're going to call it, like Pacific Godzilla or something like that.
Godzilla Rim. I don't know, man. It's going to be gross.
Something like that.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Yeah, then you have like the, oh my God, like Gypsy Danger fighting along. Oh, I'm about to freaking have a nerdgasm.
Yeah, it's super exciting, super fun. You know, in the new Pacific Rim, they also talked about
Charlie Day being the villain and Kaiju half
Jaeger.
Yeah, I don't know how that's going to work. I think Charlie Day's character is going to be like an evil scientist kind of figure in this one, and because he's so obsessed with Kaiju.
I don't doubt that all they're going to do is put a Kaiju brain inside of a Jaeger and just drift it.
That'd be super cool. I'd watch the shit out of that.
I'm pretty excited about the concept.
Back to Godzilla real quick. The two leads in this movie, like I said, Aaron Johnson and Elizabeth Olsen. Today, I read a Marvel press release confirming 100% that they are both going to be in, they're going to be playing siblings in Avengers Age of Ultron.
Okay.
So like Scarlet,
now you say siblings, are
Scarlet
they...
Witch and Quicksilver. Well, they're a married couple in Godzilla.
Oh, and, cool, cool, cool.
Yeah, and then they're going to be playing brother and sister in another awesome movie, which I'm obviously more excited for.
It'll be interesting
to
see that dynamic shift.
Yeah, I mean, they must have good chemistry, so I mean, like...
Obviously, I mean...
So they're just like, why not translate that to brother and sister?
So you said Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, can you tell me a little bit about the characters? Because I don't know enough about...
Really? Okay,
Marvel.
Cool. Quicksilver, he obviously, from his name, he runs really fast. That's his whole thing. They're both children of Magneto. They're from, I don't know, they have weird accents or something. Like Eastern Europeans or something like that. But, so Quicksilver can run super fast. Okay. Like, I think his, like, top speed is like 600 miles an hour, which is a sound barrier, which isn't not as cool as the Flash, but still pretty cool.
And, I know, like, within the Marvel universe, that's not very fast, but to normal human beings,
That's ridiculously fast. Yeah. And then Scarlet Witch, she has like probability manipulations.
That's cool.
And
is it similar to Domino?
Yeah, but like she also uses witch hexes chaos hexes, which are like she learns along with her power. She learns magic, like real magic from like a witch, and so she can enhance her own mutant power. And like I think I've told you this before, but like in House of M storyline, she ends up getting rid of all the mutants just by thinking it. Like
right. I do remember you telling me about that.
Yeah, she can alter reality to a degree that's like everybody just...
So is she on the power level of, was it Susan Storm and Reed Richards?
Like their son?
Yeah.
No, he's Franklin Richards is two beasts.
The Franklin verse?
Yeah, he's too godly for her. Because, well, the thing is, that's a whole other story we'll get into way later. But I think they're gonna kind of dumb her down a little bit because she's way OP for a freaking Marvel movie.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. I mean,
like, she's OP, Ultron's OP, so they're just gonna, like, dumb everyone down just a few notches so that it makes sense. So you're not just like, why is she not destroying everyone right now?
I feel like that's kind of a cop out. Like, why nerf two characters instead of buff making everybody else get smart? Like,
yeah, but I mean,
work within your powers within the universe. I mean,
yeah. But then it just becomes, even though, I mean, obviously this comes ridiculous, it's less believable, like, within the context of the universe, if everyone is just like, if Iron Man can't fight this, or can just easily beat this witch that has, like, crazy-ass powers, you know? So right. It's more believable if she has some kind of restrictions that, you know, so we're like, oh yeah, okay, if he's smart enough to work around that, or whatever, but that's just me.
Okay, well, on the subject of Marvel, since kind of, you told me before that you're not really, I'm really big on the Punisher. Whenever I loaned you the comics, you weren't able to really get into them, I guess?
It was really boring.
And I get that. Which is, it's funny because the Punisher makes for a really good movie character, barring the Dolph Lundgren movie. I really like the Tom Jane. I really like the Ray Stevenson.
Have you seen the Dolph Lundgren? I haven't. I don't know. Is it good?
It's terrible.
Oh. Does he have the Punisher symbol?
Yeah. It's 80s terrible, though. I mean, it's like, it's one of those, like, it's a dumb 80s action movie. They really didn't put a lot of effort into it, which they put a lot of effort into the Tom Jane one, and I feel like they put a lot of effort, like, storyline-wise, into the Ray Stevenson one.
Well, the Ray Stevenson one, like I told you, they seriously just pulled stuff straight from the comics.
Yeah, shot for shot, like you were saying.
Yeah, let's just make this, put that in the movie, and I was like, that's freaking awesome.
Yeah, that's really cool, and I think it's interesting that it makes for a really interesting movie character, but apparently not a very absorbing comic book character.
Not standalone, I think. Like, I like his role within the whole overarching Marvel universe, right. But just by himself, I feel like he would be much better suited in, like, a Watchmen universe, where there's more superheroes like him that don't have any powers, but they're still kind of going around doing their own thing. Like, him and the Comedian, like, would be best friends, seriously. That's a weird crossover, but the point is, like, he needs more people around him than just him. Otherwise, I'm just like, why do I care?
Yeah. I mean, I really like the way that they did it in Max, but I think you might even enjoy the War Journal ones more because they're within the actual Marvel continuity, as far as I understand. Like I said, Marvel's not really my area of expertise.
I'm all about team-ups. That's all I need.
Like, all about the Avengers or, good segue, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh my god. Guardians of the Galaxy. You shouldn't have said that because now I'm going to rant forever. No, seriously though, I'm so excited for this movie. We got to see part of it at the end of you still haven't seen Thor the Dark World. Spoiler alert.
I haven't seen Thor
have you?
Tori that hasn't seen it. I've seen it. Remember, I was there with you. We saw it that night.
You're right. We saw it together. That's right. I'm really bad at remembering where I see movies with.
Okay.
So we saw, spoiler alert, if you don't know, the stinger for Thor the Dark World is the Collector. Asgardians go to the Collector's realm, and which is in the Guardians of the Galaxy universe, and they give him one of the power gems, if you know anything about the Infinity Stones. It's fucking weird. Like, cause you're watching the space Viking, like in Matt's words, space Viking,
space Vikings versus space elves.
That's like, what it is.
So fucking boss.
And then they suddenly like appear and they're in this like deck of the spaceship and you're just like, okay, this is interesting. And
it's
there's
very Star Trek.
There's like glass cases of aliens and there's like a pink woman just leading
pink
them.
Alien chick. Yeah. She's like in Star Trek.
Yeah. They're just like walking through this hallway and then they get up to the
weird ass Benicio del Toro
with like silver hair. And he has like this weird black like thing on his lip. And he's like, Asgardians, welcome.
Very weird. And I want to make a side note. You said spoiler alert. Like, anybody knew who the fuck the Collector was. Like, spoiler alert. This fucking random ass character, which honestly, if I didn't have any frame of reference, I would not have any idea what was going on in that.
See, but I feel like people that, if this podcast works out the way we intend, the people that stumble across this are at least nerdy enough to have a vague idea of.
I feel like by the time this podcast catches on, if it catches on,
like, Guardians of the Galaxy will have been out for, like, on DVD.
I'm pretty sure. Like, spoiler alert for something that you saw 6 months ago. Like, I don't know. And anybody that's nerdy enough to know what Guardians of the Galaxy is has already seen Thor the Dark World.
That's true.
Feel me?
Good point. I'll keep that in mind next time I decide to spoiler alert somebody.
Okay.
But,
My bad.
I'll keep that in mind next time I decide to spoiler alert somebody. Since we're talking about stingers and Marvel movies, I would like to talk about my theory for the Captain America one, which I've touched on in my other podcast, That's So Bazoobs, if you want to check that out. I'm kidding. Don't check it out. It's awful.
Shameless self-promotion, huh?
Yeah, I know. Ooh, plugs. Here we go. Basically, so Captain America... No, it's too long. I don't even want to get into it right now. But I think Ultron is going to be at the end of Captain America the Winter Soldier.
Such a cock tease. It looked like we were about to get into a big rant there.
I feel like it's too long and it's so irrelevant right now. But basically, Ultron is going to be at the end of Captain America and it's going to be awesome and I'm going to come everywhere. I won't. I'll just pee a little bit, probably.
Just a little pee?
Just a little pee.
Little pee, no cum. Yeah. All right. Moving past that, because I think we've beaten the Marvel horse.
Since we talked about Marvel, let's jump over to DC real quick.
Okay.
You still haven't seen Man of Steel.
I saw it the other night at work.
Like the whole thing?
Sure did.
On purpose?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
What'd you think?
I was really impressed with the Krypton stuff. A lot of the things that people were bitching about, I found, if they were worth bitching about at all, were mere fly specks on the dome of the Sistine Chapel. It was an amazing movie, I think.
What were the things people were bitching about that you heard before you... I mean, I'm assuming you were going to see, you had some pre-context before you saw the movie. Okay, so what were these things that people were apparently bitching about?
Some people were bitching about the whole... the big thing, spoiler alert, because this actually applies, whenever Kal-El kills Zod.
Yeah.
A lot of people were like, one, Superman doesn't kill. Bullshit. Superman, the only reason Superman doesn't seem to kill his bad guys very often is because very often his bad guys are fucking invincible.
Yeah. He killed Doomsday, if you want
to... He tried to kill Doomsday. Well, no. Okay, he's killed Doomsday multiple times. Yeah, they killed each other. That's kind of the point of Doomsday.
Yeah.
But the whole, he kills Zod, Superman doesn't kill anybody. Bullshit, he doesn't. Let's get past that. There were some people that were like, he could have avoided killing Zod.
How?
Even if he could have avoided him, Zod made it perfectly clear that he was going to continue to kill people until Superman killed him. He was like, I can't remember his words exactly, but it was like, either you kill me,
or I kill you.
I kill you. Yeah. It was a very clear, and I was like, the fact that he went ahead and just killed Zod.
Yeah,
it
gave some context for that. It set that up anyway. Like, you very much so. Going, yeah.
And I really enjoyed that. I thought that was a really good point. Some things like the way, what's his dad's name?
Jor-El or the Kent dad?
The Kent.
Kent. I don't know. I can't remember his first name.
David, Mike, Carl, Kent. Something. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Anyway, the fact that he was like, no, don't reveal your powers just yet. I'm going to get eaten by this giant tornado. I was kind of miffed about that because...
Yeah, that part's a little ridiculous, I think. Even the second time watching it, I was like, he could have done... What was it? Maybe I don't have the connection to dogs. I know you have a dog. You didn't have to go back for it, really.
Side note, I absolutely would have gone back for my dog, but...
I realize that. That's why I'm saying maybe it's just me, but for me, I wouldn't have gone for that dog.
My dog's my child, so... Yeah. I would absolutely do that. However, if I was Superman's adoptive dad, I would not be concerned about him doing anything. It's like, no, don't reveal your powers just yet. Superman could fucking spin kick the moon in half. He has nothing to be afraid of. Absolutely nothing to be afraid of. So it's like, no, don't reveal your powers yet. Why? Like,
what I think is interesting, though, and that's a valid point you bring up, but at the same time, his whole life, he was bullied. Like, this isn't a world where Clark Kent is like, I mean, he always kind of, he was kind of just did his own thing, right?
Yeah.
And originally, but in this, they set it up like he was just the center of every bully's like frustration and anger for whatever reason. Maybe it's his chiseled jawline as a small child. you notice the kid, he had like the most like perfect shaped face.
Yeah,
like,
he was a beautiful child, but.
Yeah. Like, maybe that's why, but...
And he also... The Kents kind of raised him to be a pussy. Like, yeah, to be entirely true. Honest. Yeah, like, he just put up with everything, which... That dude in the diner that threw the beer in his face, I...
Would have broken his... I just ripped his jaw open, freaking taking style.
Are you kidding me right now? She's like, it's not worth it. Once again, I could throw this man into the sun. Nobody would ever find him. Nobody would be able to tie me to the murder by sun.
Yeah.
Like, and even if they did, I would threaten to spin kick the moon in half, and then there would be no discussion. Like,
he could seriously kind of just grab his throat and just barely push on his freaking, his arteries.
There's a million ways that he could have dealt with that guy. And I'm like, and that was the point of the movie where I was like, I am way too irresponsible to have superpowers. If I ever got superpowers, I would be either, I would either be a bad guy or I would have to like isolate myself like in like Peru.
Side note, have you seen Chronicle?
I have not.
Okay, that kind of, you know, gets into the whole thing, like realistically what would happen if people had superpowers, especially someone like irresponsible and et cetera, et cetera.
Like, I mean, from what I understood, they were teenage boys, weren't they not?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, it's a powder keg, really. Like, if they don't have the direction, then teenage boys will be destructive even without superpowers, so.
Well, I mean, not, like, there's three of them. Not, two of them are fine, but one just, like, he lives in an abusive household, so, like, he naturally is drawn to the dark side, if you will. Like,
the dark side of superpowers?
Exactly. Like, I find your lack of faith disturbing. Wow, I didn't know James Earl Jones. Hey, James, how you doing? I'm good. How are you? What have you been up to? I haven't seen you in anything in a really long time. Or, you know, just doing Visa commercials. I'm kidding. Anyway... Matt loves that.
I was doing my best. I was trying to come up with some way to open a dialogue with James Earl Jones just now.
He had to leave really quickly.
Desperately wanted our listeners to believe that we somehow just hung out with James Earl Jones. Not only
he's actually my granddad, so
that's It's good. Yeah,
that would have been good, but I forget what we were talking about.
Segue into why we're doing podcasts and not just making film.
Like. Exactly. But back to Man of Steel real quick. I do like that even though Zod's gone, Feyora still exists somewhere. She's in the Phantom Zone. She was super badass in that movie. Also really hot. Oh my god. I hope she comes back in like subsequent ones, like to working with like Lex Luthor. That's not realistic. Darkseid.
That would be cool.
Her and Darkseid team up. Come get the Justice League. Like, after, you know, the Justice League has been set up 2 movies from now, apparently, because Batman versus Superman is basically going to be the Justice League setup because Barry Allen and Diana Prince are going to be in it.
I'm telling you, dude, it's going to be a bait and switch. They're going to be like, there's going to be a Batman versus Superman trailer in this film, and then we'll go see it, and it's just going to be the silhouettes of the Justice League walking towards the camera, playing the Justice League theme song, and then it'll give us a date, and then that'll be it.
We'll see. What I think is going to happen, it's going to be, I like that idea, but it's less realistic than him and Superman, or Superman and Batman, you know, doing their little thing, and then having Barry Allen and Diana, like, in their civilian lives or whatever, kind of being
Diana being an there. Amazon?
No, but, like, she's, for, I forget what, under what context, she comes to study us, that's what it is. They send her to learn about the world or whatever. So she comes under the guise of Diana, her civilian self, and then, so they have a reference to her and Barry Allen, and then
Is this before Barry Allen dicks with hard water?
What?
You know that's how he got his fucking superpowers in, like, one of the older comics, right?
No, he was in a lab.
Fucking water.
No, he was in a lab, and chemicals were like...
I shit you not. I've been outraged about this for a long time, because the Flash is the stupidest fucking superhero.
He's not. He's awesome. He's faster than anything that exists, he's faster than it.
Okay, first of all, that is a stupid superpower. That is a superpower written by an 8-year-old. He's faster than everything ever. And I anything think it's that pretty exists, logical. He's faster than that. Furthermore, his power consists of running away. That's his...
He never runs away.
The
he runs
power of cowardice.
He runs through obstacles to kill the people. I don't know. He's awesome.
Anyway,
you need to watch more Flash-related animated movies.
I don't want
to
watch more Flash-related anime. He's boring. He's a boring superhero. And furthermore, just when you get a chance later, just for reference, look up Hard Water and the Flash. I'm not kidding. He got his superpowers from Hard Water. That has been a deep-seated issue with the Flash with me for a very long time.
See, and I don't think that's true, but I mean, I could look it up right now, but I don't care now. Maybe in our break.
I noticed you said Darkseid. Mm-hmm. Is that how it's pronounced?
That's how I like to pronounce it. I've heard Darkseid too, but I like Darkseid. Darkseid sounds cooler.
Darkseid does sound cooler. Phonetically, either one of them works.
Yeah.
That has always bothered me. And I most of the time, I pretend that character doesn't exist. I pretend that I think that it's Apocalypse.
He's like, no. Well, yeah, he's like the Apocalypse. Funny enough, he's the Apocalypse of the DC universe, but the planet he comes from and rules over is called Apocalypse. And
is that the one that's Apocalypse, but it's spelled with lips like on the face? Or is that Apocalypse, the character, is spelled with lips like the face?
I have no idea.
One of them is Apocalypse.
It's probably his planet, but there's an animated movie called it's like Superman Apocalypse or Superman Batman Apocalypse, and Superman and Batman have to fight Apocalypse, and then Supergirl's there, and it's pretty.
Oh yeah. Back on the subject of Superman and Batman, specifically this Batman versus Superman movie. I'm not gonna bitch about Ben Affleck being Batman.
I'm excited about it.
I'm irritated about that because I hate Ben Affleck as an actor, and I feel like he as an actor ruined Daredevil.
No, I disagree.
There was a lot of crap that ruined Daredevil.
No, it was. I think it was all the writing. Continue.
I don't like him as an actor. Watchers, he was bad in Watchers. Dogma, he was decent in, but
he was awesome in Dogma. He carried that movie. He didn't carry. That's false.
I was about to say
no, but. He was a big part of why that movie worked, the way he was. And, like, Mallrats, have you seen Mallrats?
Yeah.
He was awesome in that movie, too. Like, he was just so good at being that arrogant, like, thing. I don't know. I liked it.
All right. But I don't think that he's Batman. I'm not going to bitch about that. What I am going to bitch about is I have always hated the Batman versus Superman scenario.
Yeah.
Because Batman will never be the bad guy in that situation. It's always Superman has, for some fucking reason, lost his mind and gone renegade. If Superman went renegade, there's nothing Batman could do about it.
No, and what is the movie that just came out, The Dark Knight Returns, animated movie. They had part 1, part 2, but they put it together as one like two and a half hour movie, animated movie. It's
long
awesome.
For animated.
It's like basically old Batman, like gangs are running amok and blah blah blah. I forget. The point is, Superman works for the government. He ends up being commissioned to stop Batman from doing something, and so they end up fighting. Of course, Batman has his giant freaking steampunk outfit, and they'd like duke it out.
Yeah,
in the
he has the giant robot suit with the kryptonite ring, right?
No, he didn't have kryptonite. It's just strong.
So it's like the Hulkbuster
basically
armor?
Okay. Yeah. So they fight for a while, and it gets to a point where I think Superman just kind of like realizes like it's kind of ridiculous, and he understands what Bruce is
doing. Something like that, or I forget. I need to watch it again. I only watched it like a few weeks ago. I don't know why I already forgot what happens. But I'm saying like neither Batman or Superman was the villain in this scenario. It was Superman doing, you know, what he has been told to do because he's been around so long that he has to, you know.
Even still, my issue with that is that comic book writers have to create contrived scenarios in which Batman wins because or Batman is able to hold his own. That suit does not make any sense.
Maybe it's made out of like pure lead. I don't know. Superman's thing, like, it protects him, but it also hinders him.
Even then, Superman could.
I don't know, man. Deus Ex Machina. Who cares?
It's a Deus Ex Machina like a motherfucker. And like any situation where Superman got a raw hair up his ass to kill Batman, he could fly and take Batman's head off of his shoulders before Batman even realized what was going on.
And actually, I'm just reminded, like, we were talking about how Superman does not kill. I mean, Bruce is his best friend. They're friends. They've been friends for a long time. Like, no matter what the problem is between them, he will never do that to Bruce because, you know, that's really his only, besides Lois, his real human connection.
Why would they fight at all? Because Superman realizes that if he punches the shit out of an old man, it's going to kill him.
Oh, you know what it is? I remember what happens now. He ends up killing Bruce, or killing him.
Okay.
But he knows that Bruce is still alive.
To the listeners, BJ just did air quotes. I can't see that on a
podcast. Well, okay, he kills Bruce, wink, wink. Bruce is still alive, like, to the point where his, like, heart's, like, barely beating, but Superman knows he's still alive, so that Bruce can kind of, like, go underground and live his, and he has, like, a bunch of followers, like, the Bat followers or whatever, and so he can go do that anonymously. Everybody thinks Batman's, like, gone for real, but some people know, and Superman can go back to his government job or whatever. Basically, how there's always going to be some kind of superhero registration for some reason, whatever, but that's a whole nother monster that I don't want to get into right now.
That is so dumb.
That's what happens. Dumb. But actually, speaking of that real quick, we're about to go to a break in a little bit. Before we get to that, I kind of want to just jump over through the Marvel outline for the movies real quick.
We were on comics for a lot longer than I thought would be.
I know, but because it's awesome. Okay, so the second Avengers movie is going to be Ultron, right? So, which we thought was going to be Thanos.
Age of Ultron.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be Thanos, but apparently not, or not yet.
And so,
which means that phase two, you know, we're going to have Ant-Man and Wasp and I believe Doctor Strange and Black Panther, maybe.
Fin Fang Foom.
That would be super dope, but no. I think everybody would be really confused at a giant dragon just like...
I need some Fin Fang Foom in my life.
I know we all do. I want Doctor Doom to come into the regular Marvel fold. I think Fox needs to fuck off with their whole Fantastic Four thing and give it back so we can have Doctor Doom fighting alongside freaking Thanos. That would... Oh, my God. No, okay, so then Phase 3 would be a lead-up to Avengers 3, which would finally be the showdown between Thanos, the Avengers, and Guardians of the Galaxy, who are now working with the Avengers, which would be... Ooh. After that... after that whole thing, then they're kind of like, well, what do we do now? And they decide to do hero registration. So,
Civil War?
Yeah, so phase four would be the lead into Civil War, which would be Avengers 4.
Civil War, I think, would be entirely too expensive.
Think about
how many superheroes would have to be in that movie.
But that's why it'd be under the guise of the Avengers, because everyone knows that it's going to be them. Not everybody's going to get paid that much. The only person who makes a bajillion dollars every time is Robert Downey Jr. Because, some reason, he's like the biggest draw, which I agree that he's a great actor or whatever, and I like him.
Eventually, he's not going to be the biggest draw anymore.
And like, he's not
going to
be Iron Man anymore, apparently. He might even, Avengers 3 might be his last... Iron Man, he's only contractually obligated to Avengers 3.
You know he's not going to turn his back on the character. He is Tony Stark.
I know, and I don't want him to leave, but I'm just saying, like, it can only last so long before he's, like, injuring himself every time he even freaking does a stunt.
He is kind of getting old. Like, he's not old, but in actor years, he's definitely getting up there.
And he's not going to be able to do the same amount of stunts, so that limits him, and that's no fun. Speaking of which, real quick, I don't want to get sidetracked, but Halle Berry was totally pregnant for X-Men Days of Future Past, and they had to tone down Storm's role in the movie because of her pregnancy, which is incredibly lame because she had a bigger role to play. I'm kind of butthurt about it, too. But so I would just like to go on that tangent, but we're going to take a break real quick. We're about a half an hour right now, so we're going to go do our thing, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more about nerdy stuff. And we are back. We decided we we weren't going to talk about comic books anymore.
So done.
Yeah.
So done.
We're going to start arguing about it probably in a second there. So instead, we kind of want to talk about Adventure Time. I kind of want to talk about Adventure Time.
I'm down with talking about Adventure
Time. I love that show. Remember what you were telling me about the Ice King being a former professor or something
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, it's in later seasons. I guess you haven't gotten to it yet.
No. Have you have you actually seen it, or did you like read it somewhere?
I read about it. I haven't had a chance to see the later episodes myself either. Yeah. I'm not even sure either of us is qualified to talk about
yeah,
this, but...
Yeah, we're like those sad two guys. Like, I've just been buying the DVDs as they come out, which like are just random episodes, and then the third season's set to come out like in January or something like that, which is so far away.
Basically, long story short, what I understand from it, his actual name is Simon.
That's so weird.
I know, right? Basically, 1,000 years before the Land of Ooh, he was some kind of
like chemistry
archaeologist,
or something? Or?
Archaeologist, or some such.
Chemistry, archaeology, same thing.
I don't know, man. But he found the Ice King's crown, and upon wearing it, slowly began to lose his mind to become the Ice King.
Wait, was it like, was there a former Ice King, or was it just like a magic crown?
I believe that that it's a magic crown that picks whoever wears it becomes the Ice King.
Hmm.
I understand it that way. I'm not sure. I do know that knowing who he was before adds a tremendous depth of, I don't know, his story becomes so much sadder.
Yeah, they kind of humanize him in the later, I guess, seasons, because before he's just this annoying, retarded dude.
Obnoxious, like, ice wizard.
Hey, come play with me. No, I can't even do his voice, but...
But you know how he's always looking for his princess?
Yeah.
Like, apparently he had a fiance beforehand.
And he always called her princess, right?
Yeah. And so that adds so creepy. Extra layer to that, needing that validation, is that because he's lost his mind, he remembers to some degree the life he used to have as Simon Petrov, I believe was his name.
What is it like with these, like, maybe it's not just all cartoons, but it's kind of like gearing, like, these more adult, like, themed, like, super dark, intense, like, depth stories, but, like, they're really, it's like a facade of his children's show, but really it's for, like, older people, like, to be like, whoa.
I almost feel like, because the generation that grew up on the cartoons we watched, now they're making a new generation of dark cartoons, and then the next generation is going to be even more messed up.
Yeah, and they're gonna be, like, watching this when they're grown up. They're like, oh my god, I had no idea that any of this meant that.
Kind of like, did you ever watch Ren and Stimpy when you were a kid?
My mom wouldn't let me, but I've seen episodes of it.
Thank god she didn't.
Yeah.
I
do remember one where, for whatever reason, Stimpy gets lobotomized, and they open his brain, and he's like really stupid. He has like, it's not like a brain, he has like something stuffing or something like that. It's really fucking creepy. I don't even remember what happens at the end of it, but that's all I remember, and I will never forget that image of Stimpy just sitting there with the zipping around his head.
I think what really sells it for me, there was an old one of the episodes, for some reason, Stimpy has to saw a log that is laying across, Ren has to saw a log that's laying across Stimpy's back. For whatever reason, the saw is on a belt around Ren's waist, so to saw, he has to pelvic thrust. And keep in mind that it's on the small of his back. Very much looks like Ren is humping the shit out of Stimpy. It goes on.
Are you sure that wasn't the adult version they put on Spike? It was like the kid's version? Because there was two versions of it.
I feel like I remember seeing this episode as a child.
Okay.
But I'm not sure now that you mention it. I did see it later. But I know that it goes so far as to whenever the log is sawed through, there's a little pile of sawdust in the small of Stimpy's back.
Ew.
And I think Ren says something like, I'll call you or something like that, and then walks off.
What?
Like, it's super adult, super gross.
That has to be from like the adult version of it that was on Spike.
I don't know, man, because that would go straight over a kid's head if you think about it.
That's true, yeah. Like, I wouldn't get any of those jokes. Like, there are so many jokes and stuff, like, that I go back to. But back to, we're getting a little sidetracked.
Yeah,
Adventure Time
as fuck.
Has all of those things. Like, remember the... I see this gif on the internet all the time where Jake turns into a car and, like, goes... over Finn and Finn is just like with his eyes like what the hell just happened, like he went all the way through Jake.
Yeah, like he absorbs him through his butt, like into the car. Like
it always reminds me of the episode where like he fights the goblins, or the evil goblin who spanks everyone.
Yeah,
and then like at the end he ends up in Jake's body, like as like to disguise himself. And he's just like inside Jake's body, like just like nothing's
like wearing him like a suit, wasn't he? Like,
yeah,
like Jake armor.
Yeah, then at the end he's like hey man, why do you smell like a vanilla? And he's like, I don't know, wizard put a curse on me or something. Just like nonchalant, like,
yep. Like super super normal. Yeah. I kind of love that kind of dynamic in that cartoon where a lot of stuff was they just make it seem like supernatural.
Yeah.
when it's totally not natural at all.
Or like Welcome to the Nightosphere episode, where the entire time Jake is not there, like, and you don't even think about it, you don't realize. And then at the end of the episode, Marceline's like, hey, why do you have that pocket? He's like, oh, Jake's in here. And he just turns over and farts, and then that's the end of the episode.
That's the end of the episode?
Yeah.
I love whenever they abruptly end episodes like that, like the one where they went to the Haunted Mansion, and...
Is it the one where, like, everyone keeps dying, and there's, like, some, like, crazy ghost in there or something like that?
Yeah, everybody keeps dying, but it's... Jake has made it where, like, the people who are actually dying, it's just, it's an elaborate thing to get back at Finn. But it turns out that there was, in fact...
A ghost
in there, and whenever Jake comes out and tells him all about, you know, this is what happened, everything like that, and then Finn has a recollection of the ghost, he's like, oh, so that was real, and then he goes, well, I'm locking that one away, and it's gone, and it's like, did we just watch Finn suppress a memory? is that gonna become like a tumor? Like
you just repress that whole thing, and it, like it's gonna come up in the later season, like it might have. I haven't been keeping up with it, so I don't know.
Yeah,
it's like the episode where they're on the train, and it's like, I want to say it's like Finn's birthday or something.
Yeah, that it was because of that, I think, that they did that episode.
Oh, that was the train one was before the mansion one?
I'm pretty sure.
I thought it was the other way around.
Maybe. I don't know. The one where the spooky, creepy conductor.
It's actually Jake.
Jake was trying to convince Finn that the conductor was cool, and he was like, no, he's totally creepy.
He's like, I like to skate more. He's like, no, he's a cool guy. I love it.
That's one of my favorite episodes. If you go back through watching it with that context in mind, you notice really subtle stuff, like whenever the conductor is talking, and it's Jake's foot, and he's, you know, painted it up to be the conductor, while he's talking, Jake is, like, completely catatonic because...
Oh, just, like, sitting there, like, completely still.
Yeah, because him and his body is more like a decoy at this point, and him actually is the conductor.
Right.
Very bizarre.
I watched it a little while ago. Like, yeah, I do remember that. Really creepy. I made a friend watch that, and she was like, yeah, I'm not having this right now.
Yeah, I've noticed Adventure Time seems to be hit or miss with people.
Yeah. But I do love, speaking of, like, Pendleton Ward stuff, Bravest Warriors, I wanted to talk about this so bad.
Actually about to segue into that.
Because we've had this weird obsession with Catbug for the last, like, month or so.
I'm all about Catbug. If anybody listening, if you're familiar with Adventure Time but not familiar with Bravest Warriors is a show that's entirely on YouTube because it's a little bit more adult-oriented, I would think.
It's totally free. You can watch it anytime. I think there's 11 episodes in the first season, and then I believe the second season just started. There's only a few episodes in it. That show's fucking bonkers.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Like I said, my favorite episode is with Catbug. He's in a few episodes, but the main one where he's really at is where you find out that he lives on two planes simultaneously.
Yeah, it's really funny. Catbug, by the way, the reason he's called Catbug is he's a cat
ladybug.
And a ladybug.
Yeah. And he's voiced by like a 6-year-old. It is the most adorable thing.
Just about the cutest thing you'll ever see in your life. Like,
I can't even imitate his voice, but
I wouldn't even begin to try.
Yeah, he goes to this dimension where the Bravest Warriors are like the space kid, like space parents were the team before, but they got sucked into some kind of like alternate dimension and they're stuck there. But Catbug can go to that dimension and talk to them. So Catbug is like going back and bringing them stuff that their like messages that their parents sent them. And he's just like has all this random stuff, but it has like a virus on it. But he's just leads to him saying all this like super adorable stuff, like sugar peas and peanut butter squirt. Like, that's a horrible Catbug.
Yeah, it's an awful Catbug. I just like listening to you talk about that, even though I know what the hell's going on in Bravest Warriors. What the hell were you just talking about? Because talking about, I guess, in context, what Catbug is and everything like that, it without a frame of reference, I'd be completely lost.
Yeah,
like, it's a much more in depth show, I think.
I do realize, like, listening to myself talk about it, I'm like, I don't know what I'm just...
There are other dimensions, and there's space kids, and the Bravest Warriors, and there's a ladybug cat.
Like, I'm just excited about the idea of Catbug, and I wish I was creative enough to come up with... I wish I could draw, so I could just make up weird characters like that all the time.
Yeah, Pendleton Ward is kind of a genius.
Yeah, and there's actually a mini episode of Bravest Warriors. It's like a 2-minute webisode thing, and it's Catbug doing like
a soap opera.
A soap opera, yeah, and he's just making it up, and it's like these two... He's using like little toys, and I think at some point he has a dead rat or something like that.
Almost impossible to follow.
Yeah, because it's so confusing. And then the Bravest Warriors are kind of in the background, like watching it and like crying because it's so
beautiful. Yeah. Because I mean, Catbug, you could tell he's feeling it.
Yeah,
he's feeling it, and that's that kind of it's heartwarming in its own way.
Which is a funny like opposite to the adult parts of the
Very
show
much so.
In general.
Yeah,
but it's not like dark adult. It's just kind of like, ooh, those jokes are a little raunchy,
a little raunchy, a little over, you know, little kids' heads, I guess. But
I guess why would little little kids be on YouTube in the first place? Unless that's a thing that happens nowadays. I don't know.
Absolutely. You've never seen little kids making YouTube videos?
Of course I haven't.
It is terrible. Makes you want to claw your eyeballs out.
Ugh, I don't want to do that. I used to be like...
You don't
like,
want to claw your eyeballs out, or you don't want to watch little kids make YouTube videos?
Both, I guess. All right. Really, when it comes down to it.
Just making sure.
But, man, speaking of YouTube, I haven't been on YouTube in a long time. I used to be obsessed with College Humor. They're... And Newgrounds Flash videos were the tits. Like, the combination of YouTube videos and Flash videos were fucking just amazing. And I'm kind of done talking about Bravest Warriors. I'm moving back to comic books and right now.
Okay, because, going back to comic books.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on Mark Millar?
Mark Millar. I love Mark Millar.
Am I saying that name right, by the way?
Yeah, Mark
Millar. I've never been sure if it's Mark Miller or Mark Millar.
I don't think he cared.
Okay.
But yeah, I like his stuff. I made you read a few of his stuff, and you always like Deus Ex Machina, like right off the bat.
It's absolutely. Everything about Mark Millar. Only the stuff that are Mark Millar only comics and not like the Hulk or, you know, the other crap that he did with Marvel, I guess.
He wrote a lot of stuff. Like, I mean, the main stuff that I've read was he did Civil War, that whole thing, main storyline of that, which I felt like had a pretty good ending. Basically just ends up in Captain America being like, wow, my whole defiance has led to us fighting brother and brother and bloodshed and stuff. So it was a logical ending, but I digress. I like how ridiculous his stuff is comparatively to like regular comic books. Like
it's a breath of fresh air in a kind of morbid way.
Yeah. Like it's just so like it's saying all the things that people are thinking on a day-to-day basis that, you know, that would never admit to anyone.
Absolutely,
So like, especially like when the first one I think I read was Wanted. Yeah. I read Wanted first. I mean, I had seen the movie, and then I was like, oh, I'm just going to read the comic book because I know nothing about that. And so I read the comic book. I was like, hey, this is completely different from the movie.
Dick to do with the movie.
Still, like, I still love the movie. It's fun in its own way, but I don't even know where to begin with this. Like, let's start with the fact, the first thing is Wesley's dad just banging all these dudes, and he's like...
He didn't actually have sex with them in the thing.
I thought he said he was like, sometimes I indulge in male bodies just
he likes to watch them have sex.
Oh, is that what it was?
That was the implication that I got from it.
I thought it was he was banging these dudes. Like, he did it, like, once a year or something so that when he had sex with women, it was more pleasurable or more meaningful or something like that.
It's very convoluted.
I'm pretty sure he was banging the dudes.
Already convoluted for a Mark Millar comic.
Yeah, like, anyway. That's how it starts, and you're just like, all right, this is getting really interesting. And then if...
This is getting really interesting. Dude, watch it. Dude, do another dude. Like,
that's an interesting way to start off. Okay,
and then, a comic book. Okay,
and then so like he starts getting shot at or whatever. All the dudes start getting murdered, and he jumps out the window, has on like Spider-Man's boots, and just like climbs up this building and just jumps across and just gets murdered there, like on this other building. I was like, that's the most epic intro to a comic book I've ever read in my life. It was, and it's so violent the way that I forget the guy who draws it, but how vibrant it is.
It's a very well drawn, very vibrant comic. Yeah.
And then from there, it goes, like, from Wesley to, like, his transition. He finds out that there's, like, a giant poo monster shithead made from, like, all the evil poos of all the...
666 evil of the most evil people's shit.
Including Charles Manson and Adolf Hitler, Lee Harvey Oswald, just, like, random stuff like that.
Yeah.
Then, I'm like, okay, this is awesome. And then the main villain is a dude that died, who's, like, a devout Christian, died, realized that there was nothing in the afterlife, so he was like, I'm just gonna be explicitly evil for the rest of my life. And what was his name again?
Mr. Rictus,
which is a fucking gives me the chills, that name. Just,
you know what Rictus means?
No.
Rictus, and specifically Rictus Grin, is what they're talking about. Rictus is whenever you die and skin gets pulled back all taut because the muscles are contracting.
Like in Men in Black when Vincent D'Onofrio's like, is this better? And he like pulls it. Oh.
Not like that. Oh. You know how Mr. Rictus, his teeth are exposed?
Yeah.
That's a Rictus Grin. And that happens to corpses. And that's where we get...
Why was his face like that? Because
chemical burns.
Oh, okay.
Your standard Two-Face, Joker. Yeah. Like,
okay, yeah.
Chemical burns.
So, yeah, he's the villain, and then, like, I forget, like...
He's the villain, but all the characters are part of a fraternity of villains.
Yeah, like...
So, I mean...
He's the villain against all these other villains.
The big bad.
Isn't he, like, start killing the other villains or something?
Absolutely.
Like that?
Yeah. He kills one of the other sets of fraternities because he's trying to do, like, a coup to
take
something.
Over something.
I don't know.
But anyway, like, it was just weird because, like, Wesley just starts up, and then, like, I don't know at what point, it's like, pretty sure it's soon after he kills Shithead, he just goes and murders everyone. Like, you think he's about to die, and he's like, everyone's dead.
Yeah, he kind of goes nuts.
Yeah.
His superpower is the ability to kill anybody with anything.
Yeah.
Like, and that's pretty cool.
I remember him jumping upside down and doing, like, a Deadpool, like, spin, and just, like, killing everyone. And that was kind of the end, and then you find out his dad's still alive, and he's like, well, kill me, because everyone else is a fuckhead, and I want something like that.
Just in case anybody wanted to read Mark Millar's Wanted, spoiler alert, that was the entire comic.
Yeah, we just laid it out. But, I mean, there's obviously a lot more detail.
It's very nuantic, but...
But I do like there should be another one, or, like, he should connect that to another universe, like, maybe Nemesis or something, because it ends with him and Fox just like, man, I'm gonna go fuck off and rule the world or whatever they do with all their riches and stuff. So I think it'd be cool, like, if Nemesis 2 had, like, Wesley, like, Nemesis, fuck you. Like, he said...
Reading Nemesis, as a side note and a callback, reading Nemesis was kind of like reading an adult version of Catbug's soap opera thing, because it was so fucking back and forth, and it was like, just kidding, this happened, and it was like, I get that you're frustrated, Mark Millar, but you can't just have Deus Ex Machina's everywhere.
I was a little confused about it, because, like, it was like Nemesis, and I thought it was gonna be, like, from the point of view of Nemesis the entire time, this evil dude who's, like, they comparatively, like, what if Batman Anti-Batman. Was evil or something like that, and then it's like this cop, like, basically Jim Gordon, and you're just like, wait, I don't care about this
guy. That guy is legitimately not Commissioner Gordon, though Commissioner Gordon is one of my favorite comic book characters, but the guy in Nemesis is...
Side note, Commissioner Gordon, or James Gordon in general, that character is getting his own show on Fox Network, I think, next year, and it's going to be about him in Gotham as a police officer before he met Batman.
I feel like this is another Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. thing where it's, like, awesome in concept, total loose butthole whenever it's implemented. Like,
yeah, and there, I guess the last episode, which I haven't seen yet, has a Thor Dark World connection, and everybody's on the internet's like, it was super lame. So lame. And I'm really butthurt about it.
Well, Thor the Dark World was kind of lame, so...
Thor's just not that interesting of a character. Now, thinking about it, I actually think I like the first one better, because I like the way it sets up Loki as a character.
Yeah.
And his whole thing. And I think Loki should get his own movie. Spoiler alert, Loki takes over Asgard at the end of Thor the Dark World. Moving on.
What is your problem tonight? You're like, all about the spoilers.
I don't care. If somebody's managed to stumble upon this podcast, which, cool for you, man.
You are one listener.
You're a little bit late.
Sorry about all the spoilers.
So, like, a few months from now, when you've listened to this, we made this a while ago. you'll probably know everything anyway, so I don't even care.
I actually made this back in 2006.
Yeah,
so,
we're just posting it online right now because we found it. We're going through some old computer files.
Yeah.
You're like, oh man, remember when we got drunk and made this?
So meta.
We're completely sober right now, which is...
Stone cold sober, and that's a shame.
And I realize now, as I said that next time we should get belligerently hammered and...
And make a podcast?
Yes.
I'm all for that.
Absolutely.
Let's do that.
I will do that. I would do it if I didn't work tomorrow, right now, but...
Yeah, it's also like 5 in the morning.
But Mark Millar, real quick, last thing about him. Kick-Ass 3 is currently doing its run, which I really want to read. I believe Hit Girl ends up in jail or something like that. I really like
Hope so.
Hope
so. That is the only thing that makes sense.
Yeah. But. Like, I really liked... I saw Kick-Ass the movie before I read the comic, and then I was like, oh, this is interesting. So I read the comic. So much darker than I ever thought it could be.
Unimaginably darker.
Oh, my God. It's almost made me sick. And I was like, obviously, I got to read the second one. Second one, I only remember a few things that were... incredibly dark about it, like Colonel Stars and the dog getting their head cut off, and
the supervillain gang rape.
Oh, against Katie.
Yeah, we're not gonna talk about that. Like,
yeah, I mean, we kind of did, but it happens. But then I still haven't seen the second movie, so I mean, I hear it's pretty good.
It's Kick-Ass 2 light. I'll give it that. It's not bad. Very well made, but certainly not the high stakes Kick-Ass 2 comic book. That's for damn sure.
So I wonder if they're gonna make a third one after the series does its run.
I don't doubt it. They have to finish out the series because they set it up in Kick-Ass 2 the film for a third movie. They set it up. Everything is in place for a third movie. But I will never again trust them, because they said in this when they were making the second Kick-Ass, because a lot of people bitched about the first one not being as dark as the comic book. They said in the second one, they're like, all right, you guys want to go down that rabbit hole? We'll go down that rabbit hole.
Oh, and then
we'll make it a pure 100% undistilled adaptation. You guys are gonna be fucking sick. And I was like, awesome. We're gonna see massive civilian casualties. We're gonna see supervillain gang rape. We're gonna see fucking a dog's head on a decapitated man's body. And I was like, fucking awesome. Yeah. And then we got the movie. He explicitly says, Mother Russia goes, so should we kill the dog? And he goes, no, I'm not that sick. So they made a conscious reference to that scene, and they're like, no, we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
That was the point that I realized, oh, I've been had.
Like, actually, remember before the movie came out, Christopher Mintz-Plasse was talking about, they were like, oh, how much dark stuff from the movie that your supervillain character, you know, is going to translate to the movie. He's like, well, you know, it's still going to be a dark movie, but some of the more darker stuff we kind of changed a little bit. Like,
I like how you're giving him that voice whenever he's actually like a lispy little pussy. So
I'll try to do my best.
Jesus Christ.
We're going to take out some of the stuff and let's gonna have this. I don't know. That's
holy shit.
You get where I'm going with that,
though. So if Christopher
Mintz-Plasse was about to turn into Bill Cosby,
ever hears this, if Christopher Mintz-Plasse ever hears this podcast, and I'm really sorry for calling you a lispy pussy. I don't think that's actually the case. Also, Robert Downey Jr.
And I don't apologize for that horrible impression of you.
Okay, but Robert Downey Jr., I'm sorry, I said you were getting old earlier.
No, he doesn't care. He's probably, he's in his 50s. He's what? He's knocking it.
He's like 28.
He's knocking at death's door right now.
He's like 70 in actor years.
He's like fading into oblivion, basically.
Oh, Jesus Christ. You're never going to make that a thing. Stop trying to make that a thing.
But anyway, I just hope that they do. We're so mature. I hope they make another Kick-Ass 3.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
I do kind of wish they would have initially started with a younger actor. Chloe Moretz was already really young to play Hit Girl and go around throwing out the C word and all that stuff. But
the C word.
Yeah. I don't know. Somebody
call it what it is. We've said fuck. We've said crass. Shit.
I'll say it later. I wish they would have started younger actors so that, you know, by the time we get to the third one, he's not like blazing old, because Aaron Johnson's like in his mid-20s, right?
he's getting a little old.
Yeah, like by the time the third one is actually
done, it's like 70 in actor years.
Because he's probably contractually obligated to appear in quite a few Marvel movies.
Yeah, like, I don't doubt
that's going to take up a lot of his life now. And then him probably doing independent films in between that. Like, the next Kick-Ass.
Kid's set for life, dude.
Yeah, he's going to be, he's probably going to be in his early 30s by the time Kick-Ass 3 comes out. And I mean, I don't know how the story goes in that, so like maybe it could be, you know, something where he's supposed to be older, but that's just my thoughts.
I don't know, man. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to Kick-Ass 3. I think they've done some good things with the films so far. As far as Mark Millar stuff goes, I guess I just wanted to get you talking about that Mark Millar stuff, because I know you're more passionately fanboyish about Mark Millar, and I don't hate him. What?
He's my idol. I'm kidding.
All right.
I said he's my idol.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He's not, though. Yeah, I'm a little unimpressed.
Ooh, okay. All right, we're going to have to do a wrap-up in a second here, but I do want to talk about The Runaways real quick. Have I told you about that?
You've told me a little bit about The Runaways.
I'm really kind of butthurt about, and this, I'm going to try to say this as fast as I can, but basically back in the day, they wrote a Runaways script.
Okay.
Apparently it was amazing, because the original writer of the first run of The Runaways series wrote the movie, and the guy, Drew Pierce, who wrote Iron Man 3, said he read it, and it was fing amazing.
Okay.
The only reason it didn't get made was because it was a lesser-known property, and the Avengers happened. So they're like, why would we still run this lesser-known property and have the Avengers and still try to make it make sense within the Marvel continuity? It doesn't really make sense monetarily, which I'm like, okay, that's fine, but I'm still a little butthurt about it. But basically, you have this genius who's a master strategist,
okay,
a girl who can summon a staff out of her chest that can do literally anything, only once, though. It's called the Staff of One, which is kind of a cop-out, but whatever. But, I mean, she has to say it in different ways. Anyway.
What?
Yeah. I'll get into that much, much later. There's a girl that's telepathically connected with a rapper. There's another girl.
A rapper?
Raptor. Sorry.
Okay.
She's completely connected with 50 Cent. He just shows up and is like, yeah, I'm in the club. Like,
so, side note, if I was a rapper, my rapper name would be the Velociraptor, dropping sick beats from the Cretaceous. So.
There you go. Yeah.
Anyway.
It works out.
Can we make a comic book now about a girl who's psychically connected to 50
rapper?
Cent?
Yeah. 50 Cent. Like, I think Wayne. We have to do it with somebody like more culturally relevant, like Kanye or
is Kanye a rapper?
I don't know, because he has that one song. Poof, 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 poof. Yeah, huh? Something like that.
What the fuck? What was that?
Sorry, Kanye. Bad respect for you, but
Kanye West's not going to listen to this podcast.
You don't know. He's like sitting in his room just like, oh man, they didn't give me right at all. He's just, he's like, Kim, come here. She's like, I don't care about your fucking podcast.
Hey, I'm going to let you finish, but that's not what I sound like at all.
Anyway.
And then he does the Kanye shrug.
Like, I don't know. I forget what we were talking about.
The Runaways, man.
Oh,
we're talking about the characters.
And then there's a mutant girl who she's.
Aren't they all mutants?
No. They all have their parents, like, oh my God, that's a whole
other thing. Sorry, go ahead.
But this girl who has super strength, a guy whose his parents are super smart geniuses, and they invent him. He has these piston gloves that shoot flames, and he's like just really good with electronics and stuff like that. And you're about. What are you going to say?
Piston gloves that shoot flames?
Something like that.
What the fuck?
I don't know. It's awesome, though.
All right.
And then the last girl, she's an alien, like who ends up dating a squirrel. A scroll.
Like a piece of paper?
No. Like an alien. Like a super scroll. Like the
scroll. Okay. Scroll, I was like, okay. I thought scroll. You said scroll. Sorry. I was like, are you shitting me?
No. Like, a scroll. She's a lesbian, right? And the scroll is like, your race has indebted me, and we're supposed to get married, like a set-up marriage, and it's a dude scroll. But apparently scrolls are multi-gender. They can
be
shapeshifters.
Right.
So she becomes a girl, and she has this whole identity crisis. It's like a little arc thing where she has this identity crisis about being a guy versus a girl. It's really interesting. Like,
that is the weirdest fucking thing I think I've ever heard.
The Runaways is probably one of the craziest comic books. Like, I've read every comic that is out.
And the way you said that's a one shot comic, is it not?
No, it's had like a 2-year run or something.
Oh shit! Okay, that makes so much more sense. Oh, yeah. I thought it was a one shot comic. I was like, that is a lot of fucking shit comic.
There's a lot of issues. There's actually a 5-issue run that Joss Whedon wrote, which was I thought was going to be really amazing, and and he directed the Avengers.
Okay, all right. I mean, I knew the name. I didn't know who he.
Firefly. He wrote Cabin in the Woods. Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
All about that.
Yeah.
Cabin in the Woods, not Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I couldn't care less about Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh, Buffy. Actually, no. I watched the whole first season, and I was like, yep, I'm done. Not for me. Yeah. But anyway.
It's a cool series, but not really for me.
Yeah, it's...
I like Charmed.
I never watched that. Me.
I don't know.
Speaking of witches, real quick, did you ever see that movie, The Covenant? I think I talked to you about this.
You know.
It's like the dudes, like, they have powers.
So
they...
it's like Chronicle. So it's like Chronicle.
No, but they're born with them. That's okay, like
so they're wizards instead of mutants?
Basically.
So it's like Harry Potter.
Do you know how they get their powers in Chronicle? From like an alien
space rock
thing, yeah, something like that.
I don't know. I made that up.
No, that's literally how
space
it happens.
Space rock
underground.
Isn't that how Lex Luthor lost his hair?
From the Kryptonite.
Space rock?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's a reoccurring thing in superhero related things.
No. Okay, that's who it was. Do you know anything about Street Fighter?
Yes.
M. Bison sleeps above a meteorite or some shit. That's why he has his powers.
No, that's Vandal Savage.
What?
In the DC universe, the Vandal Savage, he's like a million years old caveman.
Okay.
And he sleeps next to a meteorite and it gives him immortality
Bison
forever.
M. Bison sleeps above a meteorite also. Absolutely, he does. This is another fucking thing for you to look up.
What is this? No. Where did you hear this?
I read it on the fucking, like, Street Fighter Wiki. I don't know why I was on the Street Fighter Wiki, but I read it on there.
Which we need to watch that Street Fighter show that I bought, by the way. Maybe
the TV
glosses
show.
Over that. The TV show. Fucking Street Fighter TV show. Okay, little backstory. I went to buy the Street Fighter animated movie, Street Fighter 2, the animated movie, which is amazing.
Yeah,
starts off
maximum
with,
tits boobs.
Yeah, it starts off with freaking Ryu uppercutting Sagat into oblivion, and he has that's why he has a giant scar on his chest. It was only $13. I was like, that's a little crazy to me. Like, it's so rare. Why would it only be $13? It's the UK version. I'm like, it's extended. That's what Amazon says. Same movie. The synopsis was the same. I get the movie in the mail. It has 3 discs. I was like, oh, 3 discs. That's crazy. And it also says
super extended edition.
It's a Street Fighter Soul Powers. I was like, I don't know what that is. Open it. I look at the back. It's like, TV show. Relive the it looks like G.I. Joe, first of all. Like, I was like, what? I don't want this. But I have to watch it now because
I have to watch that. I'm sure you guys will hear all about it.
Oh my God. I'm kind of excited to watch that. But we're going to do a quick wrap up here. We talked about Godzilla, how tits boobs that's going to be, especially if they have a Pacific Rim crossover.
Maximum tits boobs.
The overarching Marvel Universe plan for, you know, Civil War maybe.
I love that comic books.
Mm-hmm. I love it. And then Superman versus Batman, how that's basically just a Justice League movie.
That's stupid.
It's
so dumb.
It's going to be awesome.
Superman could just pick up the road and throw Batman into the sun.
Just get over it. I don't think it's going to be called Batman.
Batman vs. Superman. I just think that's the name of it, like, currently. Like, this is the production name. It's probably going to be called, like, apparently they registered a bunch of domains. Actually, you know what, now that I'm talking about it, hold on. I have to find this for you real All quick. Right. We're going to take a 2-second break, and I will come back and tell you what this these names
they
are.
They should call the fucking movie Superman Wins at Everything. because Superman wins at everything.
He doesn't win at everything. He just throw kryptonite into something.
Literally everything.
He just starts freaking out. Okay. Well, we're going to take a break, and we'll come back to this.
That's so dumb.
All right. Okay, we're back, and I found all of the domain names that I wanted to share with you that they registered for the new movie. And keep in mind that when I say night, it's spelled K-N-I-G-H-T. Okay?
Okay.
Man of Steel, Battle the Night. Man of Steel, Beyond Darkness. Man of Steel, Black of Night. Man of Steel, Darkness Falls, which makes me immediately think of that stupid-ass Tooth Fairy movie that scared the shit out of me when I was a child.
Okay, I want to propose my alternate titles. All right, Superman versus Batman Part 1. Superman throws Batman into the sun. Superman versus Batman Part 2, The Fuckening, where Superman bangs Lois Lane for an hour and a half and you just paid to watch that because he killed Batman in the first movie. Superman Wins at Everything, where he beats Bruce Wayne to death with his own skull.
He already killed him, threw him in the sun.
Okay, but that's my alternate movie title for a different... See what I'm saying?
Gotcha. Okay, and hold on. There's a couple more.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Man of Steel, Night Falls. Man of Steel, Shadow of the Night. Actually, that one's not spelled with a K. Just regular night.
Okay.
Man of Steel, The Blackest Hour, which to me makes me immediately think of the Green Lantern storyline. If they're going to have the dead people in it, then they should. And Man of Steel, The Darkness Within. Does that mean Superman's going to be evil? Probably not, but it's fun to speculate. I personally think the movie should be called Bruce and Clark's Excellent Adventure. that's just me. Anyway, like I said, that's pretty much our recap. We talked a little bit about Adventure Time, how bazoobs that is, and that's pretty much it. So
Superman strands Batman on the moon, Part 1.
Yeah. So if you, for whatever reason, enjoyed listening to this podcast and stumbled upon it, thank you for listening. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's great to have you guys.
We'll be back soon with our next thing, and hopefully it will be better structured and we'll have more relevant things to talk about.
Hopefully we'll be done at 4 a.m. so we're all loopy and shit.
Absolutely. All
thanks
right
for hearing us out.
This is Blurred and the Nerd signing off.